So, today is Trinity Sunday. What is the Trinity? So, anybody have their Bibles here? Lutherans don't usually bring Bibles. I was going to say, if you have your Bible, turn to the book of Trinity, and we'll get into this. Well, the word Trinity isn't even mentioned in the Bible. What do we mean by the Trinity, or God as being tri-three in unity? That there is one essence of God, being stuff, but three persons. Where did this come from? The Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. Not three gods, as some teach today, but one. It's hard to explain, and quite frankly, I don't want to give you any illustrations because, you know what, I just choose my heresy. It's as simple as that. It's a mystery of the triune God. But the three persons of the Godhead have distinct roles. The Father is described as the origin, the architect of all things, the unbegotten head of the Godhead who sent his Son and Spirit to accomplish our salvation. The Son, described as the Word of God made flesh, begotten eternally from the Father. Now, what's that word, begotten, mean? It means that Jesus was always alongside God the Father and the Holy Spirit, sharing the same divine essence or nature. It distinguishes the Son from a created being. One of the reasons we're going to say the Athanasian Creed today, because there are many that taught in the early church that Jesus was a created being. Jesus was not a created being. And we'll get into that and see how that developed in Scripture. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. The Spirit is the indwelling presence of God who actively empowers believers, guiding the church and applying the work of Christ to our lives. The Scripture says nobody can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit dwells in each and every one of us to show us Jesus. But you might ask, where did this doctrine come from? Was it just made up by some theologians sitting around smoking cigars and thinking, what do we got to come up with how to figure this out? Well, no. We get this doctrine from the Scriptures themselves. Even though the word Trinity is not in the Bible teaches the Trinity or the triune God. Think about it for a minute. The early Christians, mostly Jewish, were taught that God is one. Hear, O Israel, for the Lord your God is one. That's what they were raised on. And they understand that God being one and one of essence, how could they come to this conclusion that there was a Trinity? Well, because at the coming of Jesus, the early Christians knew that Jesus was the incarnate Son of God, meaning that he took on flesh, became a man, and at the same time fully God. He was Lord. And Jesus told his disciples throughout his earthly ministry that he and the Father are one. He also said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And he promises the disciples that the Father will send the Holy Spirit to live in them, empower them to preach the gospel. So the apostles of the early church confessed that Jesus is Lord. That, you know, that was the very first creed. It wasn't the apostles' creed. It was very three words. Jesus is Lord. He is God. Instead of adding Jesus as a second God, the early Christians realized that Jesus shared in the unique full identity of the one God of Israel, Yahweh, as revealed in the Old Testament. They knew that Jesus had a unique relationship with the Father, and the Holy Spirit had a unique relationship with the Father and the Son. See, the early church, they understood this because this is what was revealed to them. Notice what John writes in his gospel. John 1, in the beginning was the Word. Who's the Word? Jesus. And the Word was with God. A distinction. And the Word was God. John is saying that Jesus, who is the Word, is distinct from God, but yet fully God. And we've heard many times at Jesus' baptism when the Father spoke, "This is my Son, whom I love. I am well pleased." Then what happened? The Holy Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove. And here we have evidence of the triune God at work. In our epistle this morning that Julie just read, Peter says, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of this fact. Exalted at the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and poured out what you now see and hear. So Peter is acknowledging the triune God and the work of salvation for us. You see, this is all through the New Testament. This is not something that was made up centuries later. So the early apostles taught that the doctrine of the Trinity was what was revealed to them by the God of Israel. Not made up by theologians hundreds of years later. Yet the Trinity is still a mystery. And there are some mysteries that will always be a mystery. We don't always understand some of the things of God, but only what he has revealed to us in his word. And the Trinity is one of those things that we come up, it's a mystery of faith. It's a mystery of faith when we think, who died on the cross? We answer, well, God died on the cross. Well, wait a minute, how can God die? He's eternal. But yet the Son of God dies for us, the whole Christ died on the cross. Jesus being fully God and fully man. Because if Jesus, if only a man died on the cross, Martin Luther said, we're to be very pitied. It was God who died on the cross. But see, it's a mystery because God can't die. We don't always have to figure things out. And many people today try to use right here, the old noggin, to figure things out. But we submit to the scriptures of what they teach, that they teach both. And we think in our, because, you know, a lot of times we think in our puny little minds, this can't be possible. How could this be? This doesn't make sense. No? Yeah, it really does make sense to our minds. But God is majestic. As the psalmist said, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. This is part of that mystery of the triune God. Yet in our postmodern thought today, we think that God is unknowable. He is, we can't know him because the only thing we have is this life and this existence. And Paul says in Romans that you people have exchanged the truth for a lie. You have worshipped the creature and not the creator. And we today have abandoned natural law. The things that God has built into creation. That Tom just read in Genesis chapter 1. The beauty of creation that God has put into for us as his blessings to us. For man, the crown jewel of God's creation to rule. But of course, because of sin, we've all decided we want to be our own gods. You see, creation is evidence that the triune God exists. But many times we would rather run after other gods because sin has marred our true knowledge of God. But see, God has revealed himself in these last days in his Son, Jesus, who became man, lived on earth, died on a cross for our sins, rose from the dead to give us salvation. But many think, that doesn't that seem abstract? I mean, how does that apply to me in my life? I mean, think about it. Who is God? I can't touch him. I can't say how big he is. I can't measure God. I don't know what to measure. I can't see him. If I want to take a photo of God with my cell phone, I don't know where to point the camera. I can't knock on the door and have coffee with him this morning. And I can't feel the presence of God because I'm not sure if it's just my emotions or the presence of God. So what does this all have to mean? What does this all mean for me and the struggles that I have to go through in this life? This doctrine of the Trinity just seems like such an abstraction. How can this be a reality in my life, in your life? Well, this triune God, I'm here to tell you, loves you desperately. He has revealed himself as a God who cares, a personal God who wants to have a relationship with people. You see, in our culture today, we have many religions. We have people that say that they're very spiritual. I'm religious, but who's your God? I don't know. It's just this mystical feeling. Our God is one hand clapping under a tree. But no, our God has come to us personally. He's a personal, infinite God who is there, who has come to us in his Son, Jesus Christ, to live in us. He knows when we are need reassuring from all doubt and grief. He brings us comfort and peace when we need it. God's Holy Spirit gives us the power to live the Christian life, to battle sin, the devil, and the ways of the world. King David says he's acquainted with all my ways. He knows you intimately. You know, also David says, all my days are written in your book. He knows when we're afraid and timid and need encouragement that comes from God's word. He strengthens our faith by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, and he knows when we cower in guilt and shame or are depressed, but he gives us the assurance of the forgiveness of our sins every time we come to his table and eat his body and his blood. When we just had confession at the beginning of the service and I pronounced absolution, that's no ritual. That's Jesus speaking through me, saying, your sins are forgiven. Whatever you did, it's gone. As far as the east is from the west, so have I removed your transgressions from you. That's his promise. He comes to heal us, to mend broken hearts and restore broken relationships. He comes to bind us together in unity as the church, the body of Christ, so that we love one another as Jesus loves us. He comes to silence our fears, our doubts, and our worries. And he calls us to repentance and faith each day. He lives in us even though sometimes we allow our sinful nature to take control of our lives. We sometimes want to walk away from God. But yet when we confess our sins, he promises to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So who is God? He's our Heavenly Father who made us, takes care of us, calls us his dear children. He provides our every need. Who is God? He is Jesus Christ who gave his life on the cross to reestablish our relationship with God. He reveals God to us and who God is and the way to eternal life. By putting your trust and faith in Jesus, you are united with the triune God. Who is God? God is the Holy Spirit who gives you faith in God and guides you in your daily walk as a Christian. As Jesus said in the Gospel this morning, lo, I am with you always triune God and acknowledges the might and majesty of God, but it trusts in him totally, is the one who cares for us. So this Trinity Sunday, brothers and sisters, let us make this our prayer. Lord God, in spite of our unbelief and lack of understanding of who you are, continually show us Jesus, who has washed away our sins and given us new life through the death on the cross and the resurrection from the dead. Praise be to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.